Please follow along for the First Testament lesson reading on page 865 of the Old Testament in your Pew Bible. Micah 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Our New Testament text is one of the most familiar of the Christmas stories, and you will recognize it almost instantly as we begin out of the second chapter of Matthew. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by a different road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise man, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. The word of the Lord. I want to begin this morning. With a couple of tweets. They are tweets from a young lady, 7.5 years old, very proud that she's losing her teeth. She loves reading. She wears bows in her hair. This was from 2 hours ago. The army is so near now, I don't know what to do. Only way to flee is to the regime side, which I fear because they may kill me. From 5 days ago, hello, my friends, how are you? I'm fine, I'm getting better without medicine, with too much bombing, I miss you. Under attack, nowhere to go, every minute feels like death. Pray for us. Goodbye. Our house and our area fall to the army. We are trapped under the bombs that didn't stop since last night. Her name is Bana Alabed. Some of you may have heard of her. She and her family have been trapped in eastern Aleppo since the beginning of the war. She has been recharging her cell phone with a solar charger and has tried to keep up her Twitter feed so people will know what is actually going on, what is happening in the city of Aleppo. In this horrific civil war that has killed between 5 and 600,000 people, she sends out pictures of herself and her neighborhood utterly destroyed by bombs. It is a reminder of a place that we often forget. And I pass these tweets on to you this morning, not simply to bring down your holiday cheer, but because I believe they're the kind of tweets that would have been coming out of Bethlehem. Herod's forces are coming. There's no place to hide. They're rounding up all the children. Mothers are crying. Bethlehem will never be the same. Pray for us. There are some things in this world that never seem to change. And one of those things are people who lust after power, for whom power is like breathing, for whom power is life, who will stop at nothing to maintain that power. An Assad who drops barrel bombs on playgrounds, who targets hospitals, who goes after schools, or a person like Herod. Herod was a client king of Rome. He had fled at one point, and when the Romans took Judea back, they installed him and declared him to be king of the Jews. And Herod would do anything to make sure he stayed king of the Jews. He killed thousands of Galileans, anyone who protested. He killed Pharisees. He killed Sadducees. He killed some of his own sons. And he killed his first wife because he was afraid. He was afraid that they would take power from him. He and Assad and so many others over the years are people who are alike. Power is everything. And you do whatever it takes to maintain it. Which is why I always wonder. I wonder why Jesus chose then to come into that world as a completely vulnerable child. And I say chose because this was a choice. If we believe the scriptures, this was a choice Jesus made. If you read the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi, he talks about Jesus as the one who didn't consider this power he had, this divinity he had, as something to be greedily grasped and held on to. but that he chose to give it up and to be born as one of us, as a human being, as a child, as a vulnerable child, vulnerable to sickness and death and Herod. So why? Why not come with angels blazing and heavenly hosts? Why not come and change the world that way? Why come as an innocent child risking everything? Why engage in that risky business? Well, the answer, I believe, why. Why Jesus engaged in the risky business of being fully human, of being vulnerable, is because he wanted to engage in the risky business of loving the world such that one day there would be peace on earth. Last week, for those of you who were here, we talked somewhat about God's sort of end game in this saving of the world business. And the end game, as I described it, was kind of a Star Trek world, the world from the first Star Trek, where everyone had enough, where there was peace, where people loved each other, there was no racism or sexism, everyone got along, there was this deep and profound sense of peace. And that is the peace that is described all through the prophets. That if you go back to the Old Testament and you sort of weave your way through these writings, again and again and again, what you come to is the fact that what God's about is peace. And when I mean, say peace, I don't just mean a lack of war or a lack of violence. I mean this deep and profound sense of peace, where people get along, where people share their lives, where everyone has what they need. And you can hear that sense of peace in this passage out of Micah. And he, meaning the messianic figure, shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is God's end game. This is what God's working for, is this deep and profound sense of peace in the world. But let me tell you, folks, this peace cannot be found through power. How do I know? Just look at us. We are citizens of the most powerful nation that has ever existed on the face of this earth. We have the most technologically proficient military in the world. We have the best trained soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines. We have more firepower than nations in the past could even imagine. We spend more on our military than the next five countries combined. We've got it, and it's wonderful, and yet we're afraid. Every time I turn on the television, every time I go to one of my news feeds, there it is, fear. We're afraid of these people and those people and these other people. There's no peace. All the power in the world, all the power that we possess, hasn't brought us peace. Only love can bring us peace. Because what love does is love breaks down barriers between people of different races and nationalities and languages, Love breaks down barriers between people of all socioeconomic categories. Love breaks down barriers between people of different genders and sexual orientations. Love breaks down barriers. Love connects. Love connects those same people across all lines. Love connects across every possibility of being differentiated. This is what love does, because what love does is love opens itself to the other. That's what love is. Love is being vulnerable. Love is being open to those who we may not like, or we may not appreciate, or we may have been taught that we're not supposed to like or appreciate. Love opens us up. It is total and absolute vulnerability. Any of you who have ever loved anyone, a parent, a child, a spouse, a significant other, you understand what it means to be vulnerable, that when you love this person, you give them part of yourself. You say, here it is. Here is part of me. And you open to them giving you part of you. And when that happens, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable to being hurt. You're vulnerable to loss. You're vulnerable to betrayal. But without being vulnerable, there is no love. There is no forgiveness. There is no reconciliation. There is no new life. There is no new community. There is no new world. It is only in love that this becomes possible. See, Jesus could have come into the world like robo-messiah. You know, for those of you who know RoboCop, you know. I mean, he could have come in all impregnable and just done away with the bad guys, but that wouldn't have changed anything. The world would have remained the same. Only by coming in completely, absolutely vulnerable as a child, could he engage in the risky business of loving the world. And that's what he did. He came in completely vulnerable to Herod and to Herod's forces. He came in completely vulnerable to his friends in Nazareth who denied him. He came in completely vulnerable to Peter when Peter turns on him and says, nope, never knew the guy, never saw him before. He comes in completely vulnerable to the Romans who nail him to the cross and take his life. He comes into the world in utter vulnerability to demonstrate and to offer up to us the love of God that changes us and changes the world. And the gift of Jesus is that it hadn't stopped. He is still engaged in that risky business of loving us, of loving the world, even when we may ignore him, even when we may forget about him, even when we may betray him. He continues being vulnerable and loving each and every one of us in this ongoing work of saving the world. This is Jesus' work. Utter vulnerability to love you and me and our children who we baptize and our children who we raise. And all those people trapped in eastern Aleppo and in South Sudan and around the world, that Jesus opens himself up to all of them. It's a risky business, loving. But the question I want to ask you this morning is this. For you to ask yourselves, how am I about the risky business of loving those around me? How am I being absolutely vulnerable and open to love those people around me like Christ loves me? And that's my challenge to you. That as you go through this week, to ask yourself this simple and yet complex question: how am I engaging in the risky business of loving others, even as I have been loved? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you loved us and love us. Give us the courage to step out in faith, to be vulnerable, to love those around us as you have loved us. In Christ's name, amen.